Well, our special guest star tonight, that time, is it? Yes.
Bring him on. Do we get a conversation with our Sam?
Here we go.
There he is. Ah,
hey there, guys.
Not too bad, buddy. Not too bad. Sam, welcome to the show. You have a new venture on the go. So we're here to talk about Hearth. So tell us what it is and what it's all about.
Yeah, so Hearth's an existing bar. It's up in Ballyhackamore in East Belfast. And it's been going for a few years, won Northern Ireland's best pub last year. Mm-hmm. We are opening a whiskey bar upstairs. So we've just taken it over and we're now the partner bar for the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, which is quite exciting for Ireland. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's it in a nutshell. Now, you have been an ambassador, I can't remember the exact title for your role, with the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society for a while now. You've been involved with it. So how did that come about, or why did that come about?
Yeah, so I've worked with them on and off now for, I think it's about 12 years. Mm-hmm. I managed the venue in London for about 7 years, five to 7 years there. I've been involved with SMWS, and then even after I left, I still would have represented them. I'm a huge fan. I'm a member, a very dedicated member as well. So so I've been connected with them for quite a while. Yeah.
Now, for those who don't know what the SMWS is, give us a quick history of them.
Yeah. So I mean, it's to be honest with you, I just haven't heard you talk there, Marty, earlier on about sort of the connections and maybe contrast between Ireland and Scotland. In my opinion, SMWS is kind of a really perfect example of why the Scots are so good at what they do. So it was set up in, first cast was bought back in 1978, but the society itself was set up in 1983. And it started with one guy called Philip Hills, or Pip Hills. Him and a couple of pals went up to Glenfarclas in Speyside. Mm-hmm. And they bought a cask of whiskey and they took it back in a trailer to Edinburgh and they opened it and drank it and said, this is amazing. Why aren't people drinking whiskey like this? You know, single cask, single malt whiskey, you know, unadulterated, no caramel, no water, cask strength, just as it is. And then from there, you know, they started to gain members from 1978 onwards. To the point where in 1983, they bought the vaults in Leith, which is the oldest building in Leith. The membership just ballooned from there. But it's always worked under the premise of a cooperative, which is very mm-hmm. Scottish, whereby it's a private members society, not club. So everybody's welcome to join above the age of 18. But
put that caveat in there.
Exactly. And be careful around fire with the whiskey. It's strong. It ballooned from there. And it's always been a case of they buy casks of single malt, single cask whiskey, mostly from Scotland, but from all around the world. Yeah. They're the biggest independent bottlers of whiskey in the world.
Must be.
And I say that biggest as in they go through more casks than anybody else. So on average, they're going through 30, 40 casks a month. So it's pretty huge. Yeah. And there's 35,000 members worldwide. There's venues, I think, in 18 or 19 countries around the world. Yeah. And now they're adding Ireland to that list.
Their bars are remarkable. I mean, the Kaleidoscope in Edinburgh is just an amazing place.
It is.
And the selection of stuff that they do, just to put this in perspective, they do Irish whiskey as well. They've been doing Bushmills for a very long time.
Yeah.
I don't know, when was the first one come out from Bushmills that they were doing? It must be 10 years ago, more.
Well, it's distillery number, I believe it's either 51 or 81. I should know my numbers better. It's something one. So that, and they're on like 150 something now. So
yeah,
the first Bushmills came out, I'd say it's either late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. So it's been out for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so the SMWS do these independent bottles, and they do some fabulous stuff. I mean, some of their liquids are just out of this world. I've had a privilege of tasting quite a few, but they do experimental stuff as well. You know, they have the sort of buying power, if you like, of getting distilleries to think outside their comfort box on their own, don't they? You know,
absolutely. Well, I guess, again, going back to what you were saying earlier on about the size of the Scotch industry, it means that there are a lot of single malt distilleries, because yeah, you know, the single malt distilleries support the business as a whole. They're kind of like the flavor makers in your blended whiskey, but also, you know, single malts in their own right. So there's a huge diversity in Scotland, yeah, in terms of the styles from the country. And the society's always worked on the premise that leave no nose upturned. So it's all about exploring what whiskey has to offer. Mm-hmm. And because the society operates through its tasting panel, so all the whiskeys are chosen by the tasting panel. So on average, they reject around 60% of the casks they already own. And that's because it all goes through this tasting panel process.
Yeah.
And the tasting panel is always unbiased. They're not made up of, you know, society people necessarily. They could be people from other walks of life, artists, things like that. And they're the ones that ultimately choose what gets bottled and what doesn't. So I would never say that the whiskies are better or worse than anybody else, but it's about being interesting and challenging.
Yeah. So I mean, the ethos of the whole thing is basically to do stuff a little bit different than other people. I mean, that's really what an independent bottler should be doing anyway. You know, they should be sort of pushing the boundaries and changing things and getting the distilleries to maybe think a little bit outside the box too, you know. And for the SMWS, with their 35,000 ready-made customers kind of thing, you know, that's really what they should be doing. Now, what's your background, Sam? Because you have an interesting background in whiskey spirits yourself.
Well, yeah. Well, so personally, so I was originally studying to be an antiquarian book auctioneer in London, and then I couldn't afford to just do that, so I had to work in a bar as well. Thankfully, and
you could have been in Harry Potter then if you were an antiquarian book dealer, Sam.
I know. I was no good at it. Though, just, no, it was I was better at the bar work, and I got into to whiskey fairly early on, and I started. You know, I begged. Funnily enough, the guy who was the manager then of SMWS in London was Joe McGurr, who's now the owner of Boatyard Distillery. And I remember I begged him for ages for a job. I was just begging him for a job. And then eventually he relented and gave me one. And I worked behind the bar there for a while and then was an ambassador. And then I just, I was stuck on the place.
Yeah.
Never gave it up.
It's amazing how many people are drink whiskey or interested in historical stuff. You know, I find myself, loads of books up about me and they're all over the place. It kind of lends itself to, you know, they're sort of very symbiotic, because
absolutely, yeah,
you know, every time you start going about, you know, you pick up a bottle of Old Cumber and all right, that was 53 they shot and blah, and you start thinking about all these kind of things, and that's really what this should be all about, you know.
Yeah, well, even fundamentally, I was doing a tasting the other day, and I was talking to a guy about the smell of whiskey, and he kept saying things like, you know, vanilla and coconut and stuff like that, which are great notes. You know, you get them in bourbon casks often, and talking about the idea of lignin and the fact that when you go into an old bookstore and you go like an antique bookstore and you open the books, it's that smell.
Yeah.
And I grew up, my dad's a writer and he collects books, and that smell of books, I love it. Like it's that kind of that vanilla smell. And like I've even got a whiskey here in front of me, which is a 28-year-old, and I'm telling you, from Speyside, and you open it up and it does, it smells like old books. So on multiple levels, there's a connection there.
But like this, I have a Kindle. It's just not the same. It's very good. It's functional and all that, but it's just not the same as picking up a book. Even the tactileness of it, you know, you just can't drink a book. You know, you can't.
True.
But I will always think, I've said this to somebody before. I can't remember. I was giving a talk or something, and I said, "Well, whiskey is history because by law it has to be made in the past. It has to be of a different time." You know. And it just, I mean, if you think about whiskey that's coming of age now, was being done during COVID, and you know, it's yeah, it's kind of scary, you know. Tell us more about her. Tell us more about your whiskey bar, and its association with the SMWS. How's that tied up?
Yeah, so funny enough, I'm just reading, and I'm jumping the gun here. I'm reading some of the comments on the side here, and somebody asked, is that the second SMWS partner bar in Ireland? So we'd actually started up originally with Dave in Bar 1661, so down in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we're setting up here in Hearth is different. So it's me and Phil, the owner of Hearth, we got down years ago and we were chatting about what we could do together because we were interested in doing something with whiskey. He's the collector himself. And I had said that, you know, my real passion, apart from my day job, which is more in Irish whiskey, is the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. So there's actually, we're opening up a space, a dedicated room just to SMWS here in Belfast, so in Hearth. So we're gonna have our own Scotch Malt Whiskey Society proper partner bar, similar to the ones that they have in Scotland.
They have quite a few all around the world, don't they? I mean, partner bars. I mean, am I right in saying they've one in Singapore? I know they have loads of them all around the world. So are you going to be on the map now with the SMWS?
Well, I mean, maybe I'm not allowed to say anything, but watch the space coming in, the unfiltered, in the new year. So there's, yes, definitely we are going to be on the map in terms of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I said with Phil, like, I wanted to do something exceptional in Belfast. You know, this automatically, working with SMWS, this collaboration automatically means that we're doing something exceptional here because the whiskeys we're going to be getting in the outturn every month. It's a lot of whiskey. Like, we just got the new outturn on Wednesday for December. And I mean, I think there's like 50 bottles in the new outturn. I got 13 of them, but I mean, we're going to be buying the new outturn every month. So there's going to be a huge variety of whiskeys. Yeah.
And we had the privilege of interviewing John McShane a while back.
That is a privilege.
Such a nice guy. And yeah. And the thing about it is he's exceptionally complimentary about Irish whiskey. You know, he does have he always comes out with his wee remarks about Scotland. But he's very complimentary about Irish whiskey, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, he's so unpretentious. I mean, a lot of I quote John McShane on a daily basis. I'm a huge fan and a friend, mm-hmm, of John, and he's got a very unpretentious approach to whiskey, which is very in keeping with what the society is all about. And he's just a huge amount of fun. I think he's great. He's a great storyteller as well. I can't wait to have him over here.
He's a great storyteller and has great stories to tell, which are not necessarily the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Peter Stewart's asking, do you do tasting evenings? To which Kit Charles says, yes, been to two, a Dunville's and an IDL, and both were brilliant. Yes, Kit goes to the opening of an envelope. If there's booze at it, Kit's there. Or Paul.
Sam, I titled this show tonight, "The Gallow Glasses Are Coming to County Down." Was that a good analogy, was it?
Very good, yeah. Yeah. I get it, yeah.
Ballyhack's a very happening place, isn't it, really?
Do you know, Justy, I was saying this the other day, I live in South Belfast, but I wouldn't have set this place up anywhere else in Ireland than Ballyhackamore. I think it's a phenomenal area. I mean, they do have that term, which is the Bally Snackamore thing. But I mean, like, you can hear from downstairs, it's Sunday evening, the place is buzzing. it's just a buzzing area. Do you know, there's got a real atmosphere to it, really mixed demographic of people. It's very open-minded community. And ultimately, that's what we want. You know, we want people who are open-minded about what they want to do and people who are willing to kind of explore what whiskey's all about.
Marty's going to kill me. It was the first pizza parlor in Northern Ireland, Capers up the road from you.
Are you serious? That's fascinating.
The first pizza parlor in Northern Ireland, if not all of Ireland, but I might be wrong on that. But yeah, I don't want some friend of 1661 to have an argument with me over it.
Trust us that you know about food, Sam. His area of expertise is food. So I tend to go with what he says because he would know about it.
I mean, it's very vibrant. The coffee shops, Mexican restaurants, absolutely beautiful restaurants. I mean, it is an incredible place. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, a mutual friend of ours lives over that way, Marty's, and it really is a nice place.
Yeah. Well, I've even said to Phil, like, I mean, when we're talking about this, and I think we can overcomplicate what we're trying to do, and I mean, and I believe that we could, you know, just be successful within this local community. And part of it's like, this bar doesn't serve food. We don't have a kitchen. So we just work, like, people can get their takeaways and bring it in. So we work with local businesses in the area. I did a tasting the other day. We use Guillemot, which is the delicatessen down the road that does fabulous meats and cheeses and stuff like that.
Wow.
And then collaborating with like the local florist to just decorate the tables, just all that kind of stuff.
That's why he wouldn't let me go there tonight. He wouldn't let me go there. He says, I'm not driving all the way around to there tonight. I only live half an hour away from you. He wouldn't let me go.
No, he says to me, should we go drive up and go there? I says, but then I can't have a drink and I have to drive all the way home. So it's a bit of a distance for me. But no, we will have to get a run up some one of these days. Give us an idea of cost. I know it sounds tawdry to talk about money, but people want to know what does it range from there? Can you get a drink at ordinary prices all the way up to whatever?
Yeah, I mean, so the whiskey, I was acknowledging somebody who was ordering other blends the other day. I mean, our whiskey prices at their most basic level, so you have to remember that the society is a cooperative, so I mean, our mm-hmm. prices are all reasonable, definitely, for what they are. I mean, in front of me, I've got a 14-year-old single malt, single cask Scotch whiskey that I would charge about £7 a glass, so a measure.
Very reasonable.
And then it gets even more reasonable as you kind of move up the ages. So this is a 28-year-old single malt, single cask whiskey. The other night, we actually do like... in London, we used to do a Red Dram Friday, which is we have a set price for all the whiskeys. And so we're doing it on Thursdays. They do like live music sessions in here. So we set the prices at around £8.50 a glass for everything. So you can get like a 28-year-old whiskey for that price. it's pretty super. I'm trying to obviously be welcoming. I mean, prices will range from around sort of like £6.50 up to about 20 odd pounds a glass.
Yeah, but for £20 for a shop, you guys, that's going to be a very good drink.
It's going to be amazing. And I mean, these aren't for, as we say on the bottle, these aren't for necking, glugging, or knocking back. You know, they're whiskeys for taking your time. We serve them in the SMWS glasses, which are perfect. And the atmosphere in the place is going to be very much. And we're doing like 5-dram sort of whiskey tastings as well. So. Yeah, pretty open-minded. And we're looking to explore. I mean, for me, it's about kind of building the community as mm-hmm. much as possible. So, yeah.
And now, just to clarify this, you don't have to be a SMWS member to come in. You don't have, there's no restrictions. Everybody and all's welcome.
Everybody is welcome. Now, as I say, we will be opening up the dedicated room next door, mm-hmm. which will be for members. But we have this space here where the whiskeys are on sale as well. So it's like the difference between the Kaleidoscope Bar in Queen Street and the room upstairs.
Yeah.
A private members club in East Belfast that isn't the Knee Breakers.
No.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that.
Peter's saying, is there something on this Thursday night? Are you having something this Thursday night?
Yeah. So this Thursday night, there's going to be live music. So there's they played some trad music in here, which is really good. And then I'll be at the bar serving drams. So if anyone wants to come in, by all means, it's pretty casual. And as I say, I'll have a nice selection of whiskeys to pour from. But I mean, the collection that we've got already is, I mean, we've only got sort of 2 months, but 4 months worth of outturns, and it's getting pretty chock-a-block. So we'll have that room full of whiskey very quickly.
And you're on the glider route. It's just out the front door.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can come from all the way from West Belfast. No problem.
All the way across just in the glider. Talk me through just if you're doing a dedicated night, do you do dedicated nights to that month's outturn, or do you do dedicated nights to a certain distillery, or is it just you make it up as you go along? Or
we make it up as we go along. So, I mean, we try to avoid in the society. So I'll give you a talk through how the society works. Mm-hmm. So we don't actually disclose which distillery the whiskey comes from. Now, you can go on Google pretty easily and look it up. But the reason why we don't say is because we want you to kind of come into it with an open mind. We don't want you to come in with preconceptions with how the whiskey is going to taste, because it might not taste like it at all. So how the society works is it's a numbering system. So the first number, which in this case is 48. So this is the 48th distillery we ever bought a cask from. And this is the 163rd bottle we brought from that distillery. It's one of 185 bottles, mm-hmm. which actually for 14 years means that the Angels had a good share of this whiskey. Yeah. It's 50.1%, excuse me. So again, they've had a good share of the alcohol as well. And it's a first fill bourbon barrel. It is from Speyside. Now, as I say, you could look up and then the distillery, but what we prefer you to do is first to like smell it, nose it, taste it, appreciate the whiskey. We have got tasting notes on the bottles. So in terms of actually organizing nights, we would prefer to go based on flavor. So yeah. The society has flavor profiles. So we have 13 flavor profiles from things like sweet and fruity, right up to like the super peaty styles.
Tar and leather.
Yeah, exactly. So from a flavor point of view, and generally, particularly around here, what I've noticed is people are coming in and saying like, I love peaty whiskies, or I absolutely hate peaty whiskies. And that's a good way to start the conversation, because we can choose something.
No peat for me, please. Incredibly strong peated whiskies recently. Peat, blow your head off.
Peat's like mother's milk. It's lovely stuff. Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
but yeah, I can understand how a little can go a long way with peat. But so you pick whatever it is you want to go for flavor, distillery, whatever it is you want to do. So have you any wacky ideas coming up? Is there anything sort of a bit outlandish?
Well, so actually with the trad music, we're looking. So I was talking to the guys from this thing, and we're saying, well, it would be good. I mean, without what I've noticed since COVID, like when I started in this industry, people used to just sit and listen to me talk, which could get pretty boring after a while. So, you know, I used to get up in the front of a room and give a speech.
No, Sam.
and people would listen to me, whereas I've noticed that people don't, everything has to be participatory these days, which is great and experiential. So we're looking to actually pair the live music up with the whiskey that we taste. Like I always say that there has to be a hero to any show. And for me, when people come on a Thursday night, most of the people are coming here. A lot of them are coming to listen to the great music. Uh-huh. So what we do is we try and choose whiskies that we think will go well with the music.
Mm-hmm. Just showing where the glider route takes you past and where you are on the map. Have you got some recent converts since you opened? Because I find lots of people these days will say, I've only really got into whiskey in the last few months or in the last year or that kind of thing. Are you making converts? So more of us and less of them is basically what I'm trying to say.
Well, this is actually a good instance where I will quote John McShane, because I think this is really apt. I mean, John always says to people that when people are starting out in whiskey, the natural inclination is to start people on soft whiskeys, like, start them on something really sweet or really light or really gentle. And John says, forget about that. He says, start them on single malt, single cask whiskies.
All right.
Like start them with that stuff and really figure out what flavor it is they like, because, you know, there's no such thing as like whiskeys for any specific type of person. I always say there's a whiskey for when you get a job and a whiskey for when you lose a job.
Yeah.
So it's very much down to how you feel at the time. So to answer your question, I would say I could convert anybody onto what we do.
I'm always the same, because I always find that people say, I don't like whiskey. My dad was one of them people. He says, oh, I don't like whiskey. Can't drink it at all. But the problem is, whiskey can be very expensive, as we know.
Yeah.
So people, what they tend to do is, oh, I'm not going to risk buying anything expensive. So they buy the cheapest shit they can buy at, you know, at, not to be, the other supermarkets are available, but like Tesco's own brand, Super Value, crappy 3-year-old blend with that looks like David Dickinson, you know, it's that color. And they take it and they drink it and they go, that's awful. Yes, it is awful. You paid £15 for 2 liters of it. What do you expect?
Exactly.
You know, but when you actually say to them, look, try something that's a bit more expensive, a bit more, I don't mind say integrity, because I don't like saying that other people aren't don't have it, but a bit more class to it, or a bit more substance to it. And invariably, what you do, you find it go, oh, and the magic 3 words is, oh, I quite like that. You know, I quite like that is the best sort of phrase you can hear. Because then you go, well, there's loads of other stuff of a similar ilk that you probably will like, you know.
Yeah. And I think, and I don't know if you agree, Marty, but I think in so many other fields, particularly of food and drink, people are already doing it with coffee and with cheese and stuff like that. They want food with flavor. You know, they want to explore like unusual flavor profiles and stuff like that. And people become very accustomed to that. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that people's palates generally have changed over time. I mean, when I started in the society, you know, you'd have had a lot of people who are interested in peaty whiskies. But I mean, yep, it's the fastest growing category of single malt of whiskey today is peated single malt. And I mean, the interest is through the roof.
Yeah. My wonderful fiance, whenever I first met her, said, I've discovered that I quite like whiskey. And I said, all right, okay. And you know yourself, whenever someone normally says, oh, I quite like whiskey, normally it means they bought a bottle of Jameson about 3 years ago and still have it, you know.
Yeah.
But she turned around, she goes, I've discovered that I like whiskey. But I like that Laphroaig. And I says, oh, Laphroaig, which your sort of innate sexism goes, we cute girl like in Laphroaig, you know. I says, yeah, I like the cask strength one. Because I know hardened whiskey drinkers that wouldn't touch a cask strength Laphroaig, you know.
Yeah, no, of course.
She loved it. She loved it. And was saying about just how much that she really enjoyed that bonfire in her mouth kind of thing. And people have that. Once they kind of get used to what peat is, it becomes a different thing for them. You know, some people just they're never the converts. But I think if people go, okay, what is this, and they appreciate it, that you're not negging the stuff. You know, it's not what it's for. It's for savoring, enjoying, and going through the complexities of it, and trying to take out what's subtle in it. Kind of hard to do with Laphroaig, right enough, but it is there. Once you start going down the route of, you know, that sort of citrus lemon note that goes through good Laphroaigs, I find fantastic. You know,
I'll tell you a story. I hope it's okay. It's a wee bit rude.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Why don't we get fingerburned all the time? Don't worry.
So when I started in the society years ago, I was working behind the bar, as I said, and in London, and there was a number 66, so a distillery number 66, and it was called Whiskey Flavored Condoms.
Oh.
And that was the tasting notes. So all the whiskeys have unusual tasting notes, and this one had whiskey flavored condoms. And it's funny because somebody in the tasting panel would have had to have picked this whiskey up and tasted it and went, hey, that tastes like condoms. And then everyone would have said, well, how do you know what condoms taste like? And then it came down to London and everyone said that. Like, how did they know what condoms taste like? And everybody tasted this whiskey and went, yeah, it tastes like condoms.
Yeah.
And then the whiskey.
I'll take Justin's word for it.
And it sold out in seconds, and it all sold out to Scandinavia.
All right,
but it was hugely popular. But it was just a heavily sherry cask, and I mean, there's a flavor of whiskey that
Listen, before we slag off Big JJ for coming up to the Big Smoke Christmas shopping for his wife to get on the glider to come down to your place, Sam, we must answer this. There's Connor saying Laphroaig and Ardbeg are just about the worst starting points for an introduction to Pete.
Okay.
But look, as people try these things, and sometimes they just love them, sometimes they don't like them. But they are full on, you know. Something a bit more refined. Even Lagavulin's a bit more refined than its two neighbours, you know. But there's certain whiskies that when they put in a little bit of peat into the mash bill. It's not the peat. It actually lifts all the top notes rather than does anything at the base. You know, there's a couple of good examples of that in Ireland where it doesn't pull out the. It's not those sort of base notes as I talk about that sort of tarriness and leather. It actually just highlights what's at the top. You know, the citrusy notes, and when it's done well, it works really, really well. You know, some people don't even pick up on it. You know?
Now, yeah.
Go on.
Sorry, you sent a thing through there about the Christmas parcels. Are we too late to partake in that?
Christmas parcels for what we're doing?
It was the Outturn 12 Christmas parcels you sent me.
Oh, yeah,
that,
you can, if you go online, if you're a member, you go online. Actually, no, if you're not a member, you can buy them as well. So, yeah, if you go on snws.com, you can purchase those.
Okay. Christmas parcels. What are you doing for Christmas? Are you doing anything special, Fran?
I'll be at home in Belfast. So so my wife, she's a singer, and so she'll be singing. She sings early music, so it's a busy time of year for her. So we'll be at home.
Carving the turkey. You can do in the turkey, mate.
Having drams. I had 5 years ago, my wife made beef Wellington for Christmas, and I said from there on in, that's it. That's what I'm eating on Christmas Day. So
good man.
that's it.
I might be having some Chinese food for my Christmas dinner, you know.
Beautiful.
Yes. I picked up another bottle this week, which just whenever you're speaking about, I bought this one this week. This is the Blackwater Distillery's Turf Smoked. You see, this I'm looking forward to this because this will be a good whiskey. But they did something that sort of annoyed me a little bit. They put on Facebook the other day, Peter Moran, he put it on, and he said, oh, we're Irish, so we shouldn't say the word, I shouldn't say that it's peated, because that's Scotland, and we're turf smoked. Oh, shut up.
He didn't want to admit that poor Demona Preet cats have come to an end, and he didn't want to admit that they're still smoking stuff in Ireland.
Do you know, I read an interesting one, Marty, a while ago, and it was in Caesar Otway's Sketches of Donegal, which was written back in the 1800s, and they said that people in Donegal used to refer to peat as being hogo, as in having the smell of hogo on whiskey.
Never heard that.
Which is a purely Irish term to describe, you know, whatever spirits with that peaty, smoky smell.
No, that's the first time I heard that now. I'm sure down Donegal, they probably come out with something like that as well. You know, that we'll have to ask Jim down at our draw.
Yeah, funny. I always say that whiskies make bad spellers, so there's no consistency there.
There's our Peter Galbraith flying. He's flying over to the North American continent. Probably reclining, knowing Peter, a bit of class about the man. He's been lying down, having a hinch. I assume Hinch do a great peated whiskey. I think it's the best of the range. I think the peated is a lot more peaty than people think it's going to be.
Powerful stuff.
It's lovely.
There's that traitor Kit Charge. He's watching Bradley Walsh in the Royal Variety performance.
No, you see, he's watching that, but Margaret will be watching us. Margaret will be watching us. She likes us. Not that fond of him, but she likes us. I hope she's doing all right. Well, by the way, Margaret, I hope she's doing okay. He put up a thing the other day that she... a wee medical thing, so I hope everyone's okay with her. Wonderful woman, how she puts up with him is beyond me. Anyway, what's Connor saying here? As did I, to understand why Pete can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Yeah, Pete, it certainly can be. Peat can be a little, can go a long way. But if you like peated whiskies, they are good. They are really, really nice. So, Sam, we're going to say bye-bye to you, my friend.
But thank you very much.
Just tell us again exactly where the place is.
When... So it's 199 Upper Newtownards Road.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we're Hearth Bar. Can't miss it. We're on the corner. And if you just walk upstairs, and we're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, I'll be there anyways. But the whiskey's here all the time.
Excellent. Excellent. We will have to get a run over. However, I'm going to be going to the States very shortly and away for a couple of months. But when we come back again, we'll have to come up and we'll do a wee live show or something up in with you.
I would love that. You be my guest.
Oh,
coming up to St. Patrick's Day when you're back too, Marty.
Oh, I'm back long before St. Patrick's Day. A couple of weeks before that.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe, Marty, think about Robbie Burns Day as well. It's a good one.
Oh, well, put it like this. Burns Night, I'll be stateside Burns Night.
He was away last year, and I got invited to a slap-up dinner by Paul O'Kean. Oh. Here, I'm available for Burns Night.
And we'd love to have you.
I've got a new camera too.
I love the way you say, Sam, I'd love to have him without actually having met him.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
I'm just looking for friends here. That's why I opened this place.
Put it like this. I know Sam knows his stuff about whiskey. He's a really, really nice guy, very informative, and a great ambassador for the SMWS. So, more power to your elbow, buddy, and we'll catch up with you again soon, all right?
Thanks very much, Marty. Thanks, Jesse. Great to talk to you guys. All right.
Bye-bye. Remember to comment, like, and share. Stay there.